with your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. In many U.S. offices, Slack is the new instant message, the efficient way to communicate with coworkers. And if all goes according to plan, it'll soon be a newcomer on Wall Street. But it doesn't plan to play by the rules. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. The weather outside was frightful in December, but there was more money inside your wallet thanks to higher wages, along with low inflation and low gas prices. Average hourly earnings rose a seasonally adjusted 1.1% in December from a year earlier. That's the strongest rate of growth since September 2016. And in the 12 months through December, overall prices rose 1.9%. That's the first time the Consumer Price Index has been under 2% since August 2017. And speaking of low inflation, it's getting cheaper to buy avocados. In fact, demand for produce in the tomato, berry, and avocado categories has come down so much, shares in Australian agricultural company Costa Group fell 36% in one day last week after warning it could miss earnings targets. The latest tune on Spotify may as well be Follow the Leader. The company went public through a direct listing and sidestepping the traditional IPO process, and now the workplace instant messaging app Slack is looking to do the same. Wall Street Journal reporter Maureen Farrell is here with details. So Maureen, just to catch us up, how does a direct listing differ from a traditional IPO?
Sure. So I'll start. In the traditional IPO, a company goes out, decides it wants to raise a certain amount of money, plans to sell those shares to investors, and typically the underwriters, the Wall Street middlemen, essentially decide who's going to get them at the IPO price and, you know, help guide to an actual price. In the direct listing, essentially, and it's a little bit more complicated than this, but a company just goes public. It doesn't raise any money. Suddenly, just one day, it flips on, and investors, employees can sell their stock on the public market, and anyone can buy.
And not a lot of companies have done this. Spotify was fairly successful in doing it, though.
Yes, they were. I mean, the question, there was just a sense that there could be this huge glitch, or there wouldn't be enough buyers, or there wouldn't be enough sellers, or tons of volatility. None of that happened. It was incredibly smooth. It was almost less volatility with Spotify's opening day than a lot of IPOs we've seen.
And you report that Slack is interested in doing the same, but its plans could actually change.
It could, but right now their plan is to go down that route.
And then it's got nothing to do with the government shutdown now that's sort of derailing IPOs in January, delaying them till later in the year. It's unrelated to that?
It is unrelated to that. They've been thinking about this and kind of plotting the possibility of this for a while, but only recently decided to actually move forward down this path.
And Slack has raised a significant amount of cash.
Exactly. And that's a big part of it. And they haven't spent a lot of it. So they've raised more than $1 billion. They still have a lot on their balance sheet, so they don't have to go to the market to go get new money. They just want their shares to be public.
And they're projecting that over time their valuation could come out to $7 billion. That's just, I mean, they're looking down the horizon, but that's something that they have in mind?
Well, that's their valuation already. When they've raised money in the private markets, they've raised it at, most recently, at a valuation of $7 billion. Their expectation, and obviously this could change up till the minute that starts trading, is that they would get a valuation in excess of that. But, you know, clearly that's for the market to determine. And as we've seen, there's been a ton of volatility just in the broader market.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I would just say, as far as that goes, I mean, there's been a lot of questions for a long time about whether these companies can achieve the valuations they had in the private markets when they go public. And what we've seen, and taking out the recent like drop and fall in the stock market more broadly, they have. It hasn't been the disaster that many had predicted. I think there's more confidence that these valuations were real and legitimate. So, you know, they very easily could get a $7 billion valuation, or it could go around it. But I think there is more of a broad sense that the valuations in the private market were real.
And just looking at Slack, some people may see it as being unrealistic that it could be worth $7 billion, but they have a good number of paid users as part of their portfolio of overall customers.
A big portion of the users actually pay money to use it. And it's a... That makes for a cheaper cost of acquiring customers. You know, you go on, you use it for free, then corporations, others pay money for it.
And then one thing you point out in your story is that name recognition could be an obstacle for the company.
Yes. I mean, that's the other reason a lot of, you know, the direct listing path isn't expected to be a huge, there aren't expected to be a lot of companies that will follow it. Number one, because of the cash. Most people go public because they need money. Number two, because of this name recognition. I mean, a lot, one part of the whole IPO process, you hire almost a dozen underwriters in varying roles, a dozen banks. Then they put research analysts to write about your company. And then investors read the research reports and then are willing to get into it or not. There's a question with Spotify. Everyone had a good, there's a broad sense of what this company does, how it makes money. That's a question of, you know, does the average person, even the average big fund manager, know what Slack is? It's a more niche product, even with millions of users.
And Spotify was able to line up prominent Wall Street names like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and Allen & Company as advisors. And those three companies are working with Slack as well. So at least in terms of the high-profile Wall Street players, they see some value in working with Slack toward going the direct route.
Completely. I mean, the real fear on Wall Street is if this direct listing catches on, is the underwriting business, which is a very lucrative one for them, going to just go away? So they're, you know, those three banks presumably are very happy to be working on this and also on Spotify. They share a pool of fees. So they almost make as much money as they might have made on like a similar sized IPO, but it's just split between the three of them. Even the pool's smaller overall, mm-hmm. but they might even potentially make more money. They sort of take on less risk. They don't do a lot of the same things that they do under, they'll do a decent amount of work, but it's different than the underwriting where their desks take on a lot of risk by holding shares and selling them. So it's good for those banks. I think it's the fact that this is going to happen at potentially a second time is going to make a lot of the rest of Wall Street very, very nervous that they could get cut out of the equation.
Is there a timetable you've become aware of where this could actually come to pass yet?
We've heard they're aiming for the second quarter. Obviously, there's, you know, one new variable with the shutdown. Mm-hmm. But that seems to be their intention.
And then you're looking ahead to the rest of 2019. This could be a banner year for IPOs sought by large private companies.
Definitely. I mean, we know already that Uber has filed confidentially with the SEC. Same thing with Lyft. We've heard also Pinterest is going to likely to pursue an IPO this year. You think of these companies alone that we're just mentioning, including Slack, just with them would be a huge year. And then there are many, many more that will follow them.
All right.
Or beat them to market.
All right. A busy year to come on Wall Street in 2019. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Maureen Farrell joining us here in our studio. Maureen, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.